Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with a community of poets from across the world. Welcome to Friday night, welcome home, and welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the April 6th, 2018 edition. We are back like the fabled phoenix. My name is Michael Amadei. I'm here with my co-host and the gentleman who keeps everything running, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
You doing all right?
Yeah.
Despite the fact I hit our headphone thing and basically blew your ears out right before this started. Sorry about that, my friend.
It's all good.
And you are also responsible for the music choices tonight, which is quite international, I must say.
Yeah. Yeah. And it shall continue throughout the rest of the show.
And I like that very, very much. Tonight is going to be a special night. We're going to be unveiling a new poet of the month. We'll be unveiling a new poetic form of the month. We'll also be getting a little after dark, if I do say so myself. So yep. I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, we took this last week off.
Yes.
For Good Friday, for Easter and everything.
Yeah.
What did you guys do? What did you and Christine do?
Friday night, I stayed home. I did some homework and stuff. And then Christine went to Good Friday service.
Right.
Because I had to do my schoolwork. Mm-hmm. Kind of important. Other than that, we relaxed on Sunday, but Saturday we went to the Easter Vigil.
Yeah.
And Sunday we just relaxed, enjoyed, made a few phone calls, and
I hope you didn't exert yourselves with those few phone calls.
No, not too hard.
I'm trying to relax, but my thumb is just really, really working overtime dialing this 7-digit
number. It was tough. We avoided restaurants on purpose.
However,
on Friday and Saturday, we went to Applebee's.
Oh, my gosh. Both?
Yeah.
What did you get?
Same thing. No, just kidding. I ordered a burger.
You ate meat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Christine didn't.
Yeah.
And that's why we went to Applebee's on Friday.
Understood. Well, I know you just can't stay away. You are a creature of habit, my friend.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
It was great because Friday afternoon, I was looking around going, you know, I have this night off. I could go do a lot of different things. But one thing I haven't done in a long time is I haven't taken my mother out to dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and I knew she was going to be home alone because my father goes and does stuff on Friday sometimes.
Yeah.
So I got her and I took her out to dinner and we hung out. And it was good, but it was funny because I'd been kind of getting ready and I actually had a few moments to take a nap and I was really psyched. And then I did. And then I woke up to a text message from JT saying, hey, if you're interested, we're going to Applebee's. I don't know if I can do that. But I do appreciate the invitation. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, awesome. I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah.
I am the most boring person on the planet. I have done nothing.
Yeah, but it's your spring break.
Actually, I've done a lot, but, you know.
You did a lot of stuff, but not.
I have. One thing I've actually done, which it's not really work, though, too, is I've done a lot of work, but I've purposely been trying to reconnect with people. And that's been a big one because I go head under the rock.
Yeah.
A lot. So I've been really trying to make an effort to reach out to people that, you know, I need to connect with. And it's been really good that way. So, at any rate, enough about this. I mean, people don't tune in to hear about all this stuff. At any rate, we're going to be doing several segments this evening. Let me lay down the ground rules first. Number one, when we come to you, you need to have your poetry ready. Be ready to read. You know, don't look for the poem right as we pick up the phone. Have it planned. You have plenty of notice when you know you're going to be on. And just make sure you have it ready to go. We appreciate that. Rule number two. No hate speech. We have not done that from the beginning of the show, and we will not start anytime soon. That means hate to anyone.
Yep.
Even I would almost draw the line at hate to haters. You know, we got to keep things a little positive. I understand where things happen, and I understand passion, and there's no problem there. But I think the world is such a contentious place now. Sometimes we can be happy as well.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, we try to skew PG-13. Because we do have family and people who will listen. However, we do understand art. So if things are a little bit, you know, blue in language or in, you know, as far as the tone of the poem, as long as it's artistic, that's fine. If it starts getting gratuitous, we might jump in and suggest that you read it during an After Dark segment, which we will be having after the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper this evening. So there will be an After Dark segment as well. And wait till you hear the music JT has lined up for that one. I'm excited. All right, so we're going to go to our first segment. We need five unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic. Five unique callers. Let's do it now.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And like a crazy ex-lover, we're back. See?
Yeah, that totally works.
It totally works.
Thank you very much. Worked.
Yeah, there was a moment there. All right, so this is welcome to the first segment. We're really excited. We've got some great poets lined up. This segment, we will also have a submission, and then after that, the first three clues of the poet of the month for... It's amazing to me. I didn't even see you touch that button. I mean, I'm thunderstruck, JT. Absolutely thunderstruck. Okay. Before we get into the callers.
Yes.
I do have a submission I'm going to read.
Great.
From the beautiful Namrata Santoki. Okay. This is called Vanishing Rail Tracks. Here we go. They lay there, empty and silent, waiting for a train, all well organized. Like a promise they make to lead before the train and make the crooked places straight to reach the different locations. Just as in life, as several tracks lay before us, some are explored, some undiscovered, some traveled a lot, some are just rarely visited, each one having a terminus. As they pass through the station, revealing divine destinations, and after a time, they just lay as among the dust and stone, but never saying goodbye. Because goodbye means going away, and going away is forgetting. And that was Vanishing Rail Tracks by Namrata Santoki. Thank you, Namrata. If you want to submit poetry just like she did, you can send it to us in the contact form on worldpoetryopenmic.net, or you can send it to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Those are the only two ways to submit poetry to be read on the show. Thank you, Namrata. Now let's go right away to the first caller. The first caller is calling from across the Atlantic early in the morning. It is Titus. Hello, Titus. How are you?
Easter, we went out on all the days. Oh. So, of course, it makes you feel a bit crabby when you go to work. That's the only thing, when you've been having a great time. So
I can understand.
It's to just have one day.
Absolutely. Well, I can understand that because I'm about to be heading back myself on Monday. But that's okay. That's okay. We'll be finishing.
Yeah, I tend to get so... as an Epicurean, you're looking for the high all the time, and it's kind of like, okay, but then you've got to be prepared for the low.
You know, that's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem. Mm. I see that. So what do you have for us?
Well, I've not been writing much, but on Facebook, Sinister always comes up with these massive word banks. These are archaic, and I know that people's eyes roll up into their heads when you say that word. But I try to make them pretty. But thankfully, to Sinister, I've been quite successful with these putting together and making something out of them. So this is what one does when you're given Sinister's word banks. But it's a very good mind activity anyway. So I try to make sense of everything that he's given. And it's called Eager to Enlighten the Darkest Minds, Order Among Chaos, Archaic. The joy of Babbledom, our minds in tantamount, with each other a betray of movement, it keeps in this catafalque. I do absolve all this harbromania, arbitrary to what you've heard, I must go item. I have an abductive trait, when necessary I am dark, harbouring all incentive over others. Listen, hark. Glacio, eagerly to enlighten, but nothing to elude. I could he simply just disappear into the background. Though mentioned not, is it a sender? Nothing new. One has a calignous nature to be pantomorphic. To be called Lazar or Lamister is soul absolutory, a compliment for one who's master of disguise. I cleanse myself from affection. I become decarnate. By adornment, this omen is given as a blessing to misprise others into thinking of fear we're near. Teleorganic vibrancy, I call it. It beckons melanic. Umbrageous underneath, uneath when being rude. But fear leaves terrence in wantage. Oh, hesitation. I forgot to say that the Wemmel state of affiance they've kept as a pledge, as a decession of life itself. The fear a tab of faction will administer it as lysis, a superfluous nature as to aggrise these illusions. Acrasia confirms a calignous state of obscurity. The fear of death is one which shows its cordis. Calciferous heat, evil, it is when one is bacchanal. Dacromania takes over, the ultimate woe retorts insanity. It will create from nothing. Sesithia, a term derived from hell, that's what irascent is. Take on board an ecstatic fuel of what's inevitable and depurate the weight for legatory. Let's infiltrate what is liquescent. With stable cause, abasement, sanity will seek to derive harmony with its soul. By diagenic, we seek out this oblivion, such evil it is robust. Advantageous to say it is accidental those we speak of who are so ready to beguile falls to themselves. I've proved, Amartek said. End of poem. Oh, that was a big sigh.
No, I have to. I was, you know, I'm listening. It's so funny for me to think about Sinister and the poetry he reads, and then yours, which. At the first glance, would just seem so completely removed, as if they existed in different worlds. But really, well, I can hear where you're building off of that. I really can.
I think what it is, it's self-control of anger in sort of like the simple element and how to control it. And the picture above says, when you have control over your thoughts, you will have control over your life. So I think... that kind of like gives people the prompt to thinking, well, where's he going with this? And I try to make it, especially with words like that, try to make some sense of it. And it's a very good, very good exercise, actually.
Wonderful. Well, and you did a wonderful job with it as well. So thank you so much, Titus.
Yeah. If anyone wants to know what those words mean, they'll have to go back to the prompt that Sinister gave.
Perfect.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Titus.
Bye.
And that was Titus calling us from the UK early in the morning. We really appreciate him getting up so early to call. We always miss him.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to head to Pennsylvania, land of Hershey's, to talk to Jim.
Yes.
Master of Salads. Hello, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
All right. Awesome. How was your week off?
Well, I didn't have the week. Oh, you mean from the show?
From the show, yeah.
Yeah. Quiet. Spent most of the time at home. How was your week
off? Yeah.
Try something new for Easter. Usually we have ham. Uh-huh. This time I decided to make a lamb loaf. Yeah. It came out pretty well, though.
I bet it did, actually. I think JT's about to fall over in his chair here, Jim.
I love it.
All right. Well, I'm glad it did. I'm glad it came out wonderfully.
It's not something I'll do very often.
Yeah.
It's pricey. It was like $9 a pound.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I don't think she's used to it. It kind of gave her some distress.
Yep. Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Just letting that sit there for a second. All right, hey Jim, what do you have for us?
Well, since it's now Pomo, I decide I'm going to read somebody else's for a change.
Okay.
We'll be reading a poem by Mama, titled Chances. Chances I'm afraid to take. My heart is so easy to break. Beguiled by a deceiving smile. For better or worse, the vows I dare not make. Chances that I dare not take. The past's been sealed by my mistakes. Your smile's been an inviting trap. The eyes don't lie. Here's what they speak. Take the chance, they say. I place this decision in your lap. I will give you a good honeymoon, though abrupt may be the union. Yes, that's what those eyes reveal to me. The eyes cannot pretend. Chances are I won't commit, they said. And that's why of love I am shy. Don't want to give my love away just to be hurt again in the end. Oh, love, why have you forsaken me? And why have you given me such wise eyes? And the discerning spirit that burns inside. As I still yearn for the comfort that love makes, still no chances do I take. Afraid to make mistakes, no trust, no life, no risk. Nearly always cautious, afraid to be surprised. So paranoid it makes me nauseous. What kind of life do I have? This is nonsense, so I relent. Come and catch me in the trap of your smile. Embrace me with your gaze. Teach me to trust again. This loneliness has gotten vicious. Maybe if I am able to love again, I'll not be so quite suspicious. I may be vulnerable, but lovable. I'll try again as I give in, throwing caution to the gods of chance, now open for the arms of romance, waiting to be ravished and kissed, taking one last risk for love's possibilities. End of poem.
Great read, Jim. And wonderful work, Mama, as well.
Yeah, I'm glad that she let me read it.
Oh, that's nice of you to ask permission, too. Thank you, Mama. And once again, great job, Jim. It's always cool hearing poets whose voices you're so familiar with, especially for their own writing, reading someone else's work. You can hear the elements of the style that stay with the read, no matter what they're reading, versus the actual writing style.
Well, I hope I did the poem some justice.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, I'll let Mama be the judge of that, though. Okay, I think she'll smack me if I make a judgment one way or another. All right. Jim, I appreciate you, and hopefully we'll talk to you during the return engagement.
Yeah, I'll be doing something I just wrote today.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it. All right. Talk to you
Let's
then.
Bring out the next
one. Thank you, Jim. And that was Jim calling all the way from Pennsylvania. Notice I didn't say land of the pencils.
That's right.
Actually, I just did. Hey, Stan, give us a call. Oh, he's... Wait, that wasn't Stan. That was Jim.
Sorry. I hit the wrong button again.
That's okay. Wrong button. We got to get back in the swing of things, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. It takes like half an episode to really get going.
Back in the swing. But when once we're in the swing of things, it's good.
Yep.
Yeah. for sure. So JT, one thing that I've really been working on this last week is trying to expose myself to more poetry, but different kinds I haven't read before. But let's go to Stan right now. We'll talk about it later. Hey, Stan, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. How's it going with you?
Oh, it's going wonderfully. You know, today it was beautiful and pretty warm outside yesterday, and today it was snowing and doing all kinds of crazy stuff out here. But it's still fine. It's all, you know, it's all good weather.
Yeah.
What about where you are?
Well, rain, gray, but hey, comfortable. A good indoor day.
That was today as well. That's how I saw it as well. So what do you have for us?
Well, what I got for you is from the Garden of Poetries and Prose, and one of the prompts was a very interesting word, kintsugi, which the art of putting pottery together using lacquers and precious metals.
Okay.
And it not only makes for beautiful patterns, you know, from the cracks with the precious metals, it also repurposes the piece that's put together. It's actually usable again.
Huh. Okay.
And with that prompt in mind, we had that as the one word, and the other word was permanence. And I came up with a piece that I called Pieces. Kintsugi of hearts. Soul's precious metals bind wounds. Scars bring permanence. The heart can be shattered in pain like an exploding star. Fragments flung to oblivion. Mourning in the darkness without love's light. Yet they endure and heal, bound together by soul's metal, gold of wisdom, silver of sincerity, and platinum of faith. Pieces gathered and reform as love's light dispels darkness. The heart wearing beautiful scars, far stronger than before. Love's power proven, limitless, in peace.
Wow. I loved that one.
It was really good.
Yeah. And I love the read, too.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, those prompts, that really set that off.
I'm hearing a lot of big things about it. I mean, it seems like his prompts are really, really in, you know, kind of instigating some stuff. That's awesome.
I know. I'm telling you, I get a great deal of inspiration and enlightenment from the garden. I really do.
Oh, I can see that from the time JT and I have spent, you know, kind of going through that and seeing it. I can definitely see it. You guys are all very inspiring folks over there.
Oh, hey. Yeah, between that and Nyla and you guys and Sinister, I am totally immersed in this now.
Oh, I love that. I love hearing that, actually. That's that's great to hear. One of the things I love is being able to be, you know, out doing something or doing, you know, something with my day job or whatever and thinking, you know, right now there's a bunch of poets that I get to connect with and contact, you know, get in contact with every week. And out there right now, they're working on things, they're writing things, they're talking to each other, they're connecting, they're developing their work. I absolutely love knowing that. And that's so cool.
This is my favorite part of the world right now.
I love hearing that.
Nights like this and the garden and outlaw poetry and all of it. I'm in it.
Perfect.
That's it.
Perfect. Stan, that brings a smile to our face. Thank you. Faces. We have two. We have two. It's not just one face, JT.
Yeah. I don't share a face with Michael.
Wouldn't that be strange if I was just one guy in a room doing both voices?
Not really.
Probably not, huh? It'd be kind of like an M. Night Shyamalan movie, though, I think. A little bit, but, you know. All right. Anyway, Stan, appreciate you very much.
And thank you very much, and on to the next.
All right, thank you. We'll talk to you soon. And that was Stan calling from Alabama, throwing down an amazing read. Great piece. That's awesome. All right.
Diane.
Now let's go to Diane, who is going to be, well, she's on it. I didn't have to say anything. Hello, Diane. How are you?
Dilly dilly.
One day that phrase will depart these sorrowed shores, and
Michael,
I will sail unto peace.
Michael, you would be happy that it's not allowed at the Masters this year.
Oh, well, that's exciting. They had to actually ban it from something because people were being that ridiculous?
If they yell it out, they are escorted out.
See? That's why they call them Masters. Diane, how are you?
Well, there is always revolution.
French revolutions.
I'm sorry, there's always revolution.
You know, the problem is, Diane, we've been on the air so long that there are so many inside jokes that I think new people listening are like, what the hell are they talking about?
Well, but you know what? It makes them feel right at home. Really, nobody will understand, but we'll all laugh and clap anyway.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I spend most of my life that way, so that works just fine.
I know. I've learned the hard way that it works.
It's the seal I'll impersonation, basically.
Flamingos and watch everybody roar in laughter, and nobody will have any idea what we're talking about, yeah. But it won't matter.
That's perfect.
I know.
How was your Easter?
Actually, a bit quiet. I've been ill, but I've got some really good things in the works, and I'm plugging along,
okay,
and
good.
Things are happening, and I will share more as it happens.
Fair enough.
But you'll have to forgive me. I'm still a little bit froggy in my throat, and what I would like to read, if I could, would be Bob Williams' contribution to the garden this week.
Okay.
Using the prompts that were supplied. I think Stan did a wonderful job. We have a lady, I think I've read her poetry before. I would love for her to be on here. Her name is Jan Mather. She writes as Jan Ferrier. She did our prompts this past week.
Okay.
And she introduced us to the idea of kintsugi, which is an ancient Japanese art of repair, where they believe that broken things are beautiful, and they make them more so by repairing them with gold, silver, and platinum.
Perfect.
They line the cracks with them, and they're gorgeous. Anyway, this is a very, very special poem that Bob wrote. It is a bit long, so please bear with me. It's entitled Plane Freeze Tag on the Tundra After Stephen Hawking Died. Although I cannot move and I have to speak on a computer, in my mind I am free. Stephen Hawking. It wouldn't be much of a universe if it wasn't home to the people you love. Stephen Hawking. When the player who's it touches you, you freeze. There's no gradual paralysis. You're frozen mid-stride, often in an awkward stance, and you pray someone will touch you and melt the ice away so you can move again. An adult describing freeze tag. Number one, choosing it in freeze tag on warm Nebraska nights when I was 12 years old and living next to corn. Straw and burlap wrapped in flannel, our scarecrow, refusing immobility, danced at awkward angles. Torn by beaks and time, I imagined him, sick of restrictions, dropping from his post, shuffling at first, then running through the corn down the lonely rows at night. I imagined stick men finding muscle, stumbling through the fields that once they only gazed on, like dreamers braving outer space who finally touched the moon. I loved the fields at night, the biologic sonics of growing things, cackling stalks, leaves wet whispers. Beneath my feet, the pulse of rhythmic worms groaning in their coils, pushing through the earth. I was green as corn stalks, far from rattling harvesters and distant combines roar. Who knew what solar winds were, or the aurora borealis, or that there were men thinner than scarecrows, dancing for their lives inside their minds, resisting immobility, gardening with mass, farming seeds in space, watching darkness blossom. No, I was only 12, flexible and quick, threatening to be it, the fastest of us. I'd freeze everyone. We put our feet inside a circle. It would be the last one left, as one by one the rest of us were freed by all of the rhymes. No one wanted to be picked, but the process of elimination was better for our rhyming chance, until the one who counted, bumping fists or tapping feet, would leave one out alone, an outsider untouched by rhyme, empowered to immobilize, bitter maybe, spreading frozenness by touch, changing blood to ice. I didn't know about the vastness, that it was colder out in space, that lost astronauts, untethered, floating in the dark too long, might never be unfrozen. The risks explorers took in rocket ships or wheelchairs, looking deep into the cosmos from inner or an outer space, or how the human mind tries to hold what it can't know in theorems and in numbers, postulations, hesitations, paralysis, analysis, retrospection, introspection. Indeed, reflection as a whole were alien to me, because all I knew was running on warm Nebraska nights. I remember running in the corn, it running close behind me, the fear of being frozen, thinking I might go unfound, untouched through the night, immobile and ignored, an afterthought to those I thought were loyal, left on cool terrain, standing under lying stars, sparkling out false promises of love and heat and permanence, like scattered ersatz gems against black velvet skies, all that heat and seeming insincere and far away. Number two, moving from the heartland to the tundra and then on into adulthood. There is no corn here, nothing with deep roots. Still a nightmare as I hear the roar of combines, threshing friends I lost in fields, flesh mixed in with grain, soldiers who've gone missing, orphans left on doorsteps, children that were never found, and those who went untouched, left standing in the corn, or standing here on tundras where it's the cold that kills us. Adults still playing freeze tag, but with abiotic zombies, the it that cannot touch us shuffling through the tundras, freezing us with numbness, adults with grain flesh, frozen hearts, arms falling off from stretching out too long, across the touch of spirins, in turn becoming zombies. As we look up to heaven for something there to touch, inside prayers or falling stars, that falseness there is shining, the lights gone incoherent, choked down a deeper throat. But tonight there's an aurora, and I'm here with those I trust, those of us who've run together side by side for decades, who still unfreeze each other, who don't get lost in stars when someone needs to be unfrozen. Number three, for something we could freeze in time to shine past dying stars. The counter measures out the rhyme, engine number nine going down Chicago line. If the train falls off the track, do you want your money back? We're the last two left. We've been friends for decades. His fist lands on mine and I say no, because I know that train burned, derailed bodies wrapped in money, danced in ashes, blew away. He goes back and forth between us, our fists, and O spells no and you are not it. His fingers ends up on his fist and I am it again, the one who freezes all. Run. I am the plague, a paralytic agent bringing immobility. Slower as adults now, but playing children's games, we know that heat dies out. We know there's briefest solace, but not immunity from frozenness or permanence in warmth. And on tundras, there's no place to hide. But I'm done running down warm bodies. Maybe as a child, more naive in mind, but not as an adult. Broader in perception. More aware of endings, the places where circles close and snow falls down forever on all of the dead unfound. And I'm not freezing anyone. Not tonight and Nunavut, none of it for me. Tonight I'm freezing time beneath those northern lights. Earthbound no more in corn, but reaching far above me, grabbing this aurora to hold its curtains back. The rippled yellow-green billowing above me, ghost ionic oxygen collided into color. From distant solar flares, for me to freeze forever, for a reason to look up. Because I've seen the frozen, the paralyzed, and broken. And the ions in my hands will charge the ones I touch and bring them back to life. Lazarus and lepers walking, where a touch will heal, not freeze. And geniuses in wheelchairs will push past event horizons. And the ALS that crushes them to points of no return, a point one man kept coming back from. Like his Hawking radiation, the only thing black holes implosions never could hold back. Or gravity collapses, misshaping a man's bones, stretching him toward breaking across inhuman space. Unless will and mind can cradle him and rock him not to sleep, but into consciousness, where science fails with its lack of imagination, and factual death sentences from physicians ruled by logic, falling short of human will, where frozen men strapped to chairs, told they'll die tomorrow, outlive all their doctors, where a man bent like a question mark can wonder where we're going, watch us speeding through the stillness and the silence we abhor, while math and imagination hang glide him across the darker chasms, we fill with false belief on sidewalks we cross blindly. I want to touch his memory. I want to say, you're frozen. But paralysis is momentary for men with minds unstuck from the sucking of this swamp we walkers get bogged down in. And the other hand that touches you will free you back to motion. Colder than a human hand, it will immortalize your memory. And those of us who still look up will see your shape in constellations, glowing in auroras over barren permafrost, where stubborn life fights frozenness, acquainted with the cold but unafraid. And I'll reach past northern lights, your ions dancing in my hands, freezing and unfreezing as I believe and disbelieve in auroras held like prayers, stretched past Arctic time zones, reaching over Cambridge, scattering your atoms down to all your loved ones in warm ionic snows, your memory there immovable, where it isn't a monster people run from anymore. And my hands are done with freezing. Let them warm the broken things, the frozen shards of the frostbitten, fallen on these tundral plains, regathered after shattering their scars, kintsugi gold, my Midas touch medicinal for fragile human clay. The pottery we are crawling from our kilns until we finally shelter across indifferent floors. Too many pieces missing. The final gaps too jagged to make whole shapes again. Dedicated to the memory of Stephen Hawking, 1942 to 2018, by Bob Williams.
That was a beautiful piece.
I'm sorry that it was so long, but I just, you know, I mean, we all know how wonderful Bob's work is, but my God, this is like, I wish I knew where to send it. To me, it's transcendent.
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing that you shared it the way you did. I think that's a great way to show appreciation.
I hope my voice was kind of breaking, so I don't know if I really did it justice, but I hope I did just a little bit.
No,
I
you mean, did a wonderful fine. Job.
I just, yeah. Yeah, even now I'm breaking down reading it. I think we're all know how we all felt when we heard Stephen Hawking die. But to me, I mean, just the idea that Bob started with, you know, freeze tag, you know, somebody touches you, you're frozen.
Yep.
What's it like to be frozen for the whole rest of your life?
Yeah.
And then to not just transcend that, but to do what Dr. Hawking did.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's big. Yeah.
Yeah. Here I'm tearing up again, so I'm going to go for now.
Okay.
And hope next time I'll have a joke and say dilly dilly.
Okay.
But dilly dilly, Dr. Hawking.
We love you, Diane. Thank you.
I love you guys too, and forgive me on my voice is breaking up. Anyway, God bless you all.
God bless you.
So glad you're back. All right. Take care. Bye.
And that was Diane calling from Florida. Sounds like she's out in the wind in Tampa there.
No, it's her fans.
Those are her fans?
Yeah, all the people in the background were
fans. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I thought you meant fans.
I did.
Oh, is that what you actually think it is, to be honest?
It's these, yeah.
Oh, really? Because I thought she was out walking around because the wind would catch it. Or it sounded like the wind was catching it in such a way that it sounded like someone was outside. But fair enough. All right. I was going to say, there's Diane crying on a beach somewhere. No. No. All right, now we're going to go to Barbara in a magical place they call Connecticut. Hello, Barbara, are you there? Oh, Barbara, it sounds like we're having that issue with the phones. If you can hear us, will you hang up and call us right back? We'll take you live. For some reason, it doesn't sound like it's working. All right, JT, are you going to just pop us out? Okay. And then, Barbara, just give us a call right back, and we will go into it. So there's a... Oh, there she is. Perfect. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
All right. Thanks for calling back. I appreciate it. It's the first time we've ever had that problem on a small segment.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's like, you know, one of those harbingers.
Well, I hope not. I think.
I hope it's not going to be the whole show.
I know,
anyway,
me too.
Yeah, I wish we could have Bob on this show because he is just... I'm almost like a poet laureate of the garden. I mean, yeah. I would say he's just absolutely incredible. When he writes, it's like magic, really. I mean, I'm very proud to be in the presence of his words. That's all
awesome.
I can say.
Yeah.
Really. And so my little poem. Okay. I also wrote about kintsugi and permanence. These prompts were so amazing. I had to look it up to see what it was about. And then when I looked it up, I said, why didn't I know this before? Because I have seen that kind of pottery, and I wondered why the lines were in it. So anyway, if you've seen pottery like that, it's been mended by the metallic powders and then brushed over with either gold or silver or platinum.
Okay.
And the lines are left in there to show that the breakage was there, but it's now so strong that it's going to exist much longer. Okay. And so I thought about this, and my title of this poem is, what if the art of kintsugi were used to mend a broken life? A life is shattered. Pottery lies in shards too precious to discard. A craftsman mends the pieces of pottery with golden embellishments, holding the fragile fragments together, applying lacquer as glue to mend the broken places, and then burnishing it with a gloss of gold or platinum, restoring the dishes to their original beauty with an added golden thread connecting the pieces together, showing its history of breakage, creating a permanence for these delicate pieces. Wish someone could do that with a life. Arrange the pieces and then brush each one with the lacquer of forgiveness so our days would flow and be cemented together in a new and more permanent design and burnished with a glow shining gold and creating a deeper structure to the history of our lives. How wonderful to have a true kintsugi artist trained in the art of preserving a broken bowl bring this talent to putting together a life that has been torn into shards in a way that heals it and yet keeps the memory of those broken places, adding a golden hue to the times that would draw us, shining up a life like you can with fine silverware. Perhaps we could form our own kintsugi on life. For when all seems to be falling apart around you, instead of running away or hiding, what if we could examine the pieces lying in front of us in a detached way and patiently piece them together, holding each piece in our hand as we apply the lacquer to each side of every part that has been broken, not taking out the lines where it was repaired, but keeping them there as a reminder of the memory of the breakage. We could all be kintsugi artists for ourselves, not run away when life takes a bad turn, or slip under the covers to hide from the pain, or stuff ourselves with food as if that would heal us, or drink to excess and ingest substances that are going to create even more cracks. What if we could heal ourselves? Maybe the world would see the creases where we put ourselves together, but they would be seams of gold. And we would be born anew in the same form, but we would be enhanced as a piece of kintsugi, golden seams and gloss of gold brushed on our lives. And the happiness this would give might create a better world for all, as those who previously might have checked out would suddenly be there and contributing to the existence we all share. And maybe this would show that you can be shattered and have a life that seems broken, but it can be mended and made stronger. And though there would be scars, these would be revered and remain to show the permanence of our history. End poem.
Really, really powerful piece, Barbara.
Thank you.
Seems like it's been a strong week in the garden.
Well, I don't know. It's just, I see the prompts and they spur me on to write things I never would have written, you know?
Yeah. They're kind of like the Lone Ranger and your trigger. Isn't that the case? No, who? I feel really embarrassed. I completely forgot who the Lone Ranger's horse is.
Silver.
Yeah, it's a Lone Ranger. Trigger is Roy Rogers.
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's where I got mixed up. Yeah.
It's Silver. Interesting.
I'm kind of embarrassed. Silver. Actually, I should be pretty embarrassed about not knowing the Roy Rogers thing. Ooh. Oh, boy. All right.
Yes, it's age, Michael. Just
yeah, apparently so. That was great.
Thank you. Of course, going after Bob, it's like, you know, it's very difficult, but...
You never know where Bob's going to go. I mean, that's the thing. He might pop up anytime.
Yes, he's really amazing, and many times I have to read his stuff like 3 or 4 times to get everything that he's put in there, because so much. But what I love most about Bob are his comments.
Yeah.
You just have to read his comments to understand how deeply this guy thinks and how carefully he comments on each poem. It's such a treat. You know, I wait for Bob's comments. Not that everyone else's comments aren't great, but like I said, just, you know, like the epitome of commenting. And it's good because it holds everyone to a higher standard, really.
That's wonderful. I will let him know that you called him the epitome of commenting.
He knows it. But,
yeah.
Yeah, I just want to tell you that, you know, the woman scream thing?
Yeah.
That was given the whole National Beats Poetry Association and the fact that they did this event, Woman Scream, they were given an award,
uh-huh,
recognition for the event by I think it was Dominican Republic, gave them a certificate of achievement for doing this. So just wanted to say that group. Yes, it was very cool. And, you know, I just want to tell you that also that this is April, and unfortunately I'm not writing a poem a day, but just for the fact that I was going to be on the show. I wrote one last night and one today, so it's kind of amazing.
Very.
Just the inspiration
awesome
of your show.
Well, that's great. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear it.
Yes, it's April Poem a Day, so I only have 3 written. I should have 5, so actually 6, but I'll catch up.
All right, you'll catch up.
Talk to you later in the return.
Okay, we'll talk
getting
to you
getting off the phone so you can have another segment. Okay, bye.
Bye. Thank you, Barbara. And that was Barbara calling from Nantucket, throwing it down. Nantucket, Connecticut. Man, you know what it was?
Wow, that's
I was
silver
joking.
Really threw
a friend
you
of mine
off.
Was my friend of mine was like, "Hey, why don't you have your poet of the month be a man from Nantucket?" And I was just thinking about that because I have the stuff for the I'm pulling up the stuff for our poet of the month this month. All right. Kind of regretting that we're playing that every time we say it. All right, everybody, it is time for the first 3 clues of April 2018 World Poetry Open Mic Poet of the Month. Is there a short version of that? No? Okay. Maybe I could just say WPOMPOM.
I mean, it's 6 seconds long. How short do you want it to be?
WPOMPOM.
Shut up! It's 6 seconds long.
I know. It just feels so much longer. It's kind of like listening to Can't Get No Satisfaction. You're like, yeah, cool. But you look down, you're like, this song's kind of... Got to be wrapping up sometime soon. Oh, it's only been going for a minute. Okay. Whew, they really like that riff.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So what are the clues you have for us,
all right,
Monsignor?
Yes, that is my name. Monsignor. All right, here we go. This is clue number 1. Lyrical ballads born of Cumbria. That's clue number one. Clue number two, an evening walk. And clue number three, a wordsmith giving a Wordsworth. Okay? So, once again, number one, lyrical ballads born of Cumbria. Two, an evening walk. And three, a wordsmith giving a Wordsworth. Those are the three clues for this month's poet. If you think you know, please send us a message. Send it through email. Send it to us through the Facebook. That's okay. If you think you know what it is, send us a message. You can send me a private message on Facebook too, if you'd like. Yeah. But don't say it in the chat room. Don't spoil it for everyone else. Let's let people guess. We're gonna do three more clues next week,
yep.
And then the week after that, we'll reveal who the person is.
At the beginning of the show.
That's right. So,
be great.
Those are the first three clues for the April 2018 Poet of the Month. You know what I've heard is that you go to these press junkets,
yeah,
and you do like 90 interviews and eventually you start playing word games because, yep, it starts. I think we just started finding out new word games. Like, I have to say things without saying certain phrases or else you'll play a...
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I think that'll keep us on our toes sometime.
It could.
We could do that with After Dark. It'd be really funny. Okay. So we're going to get ready and do a second segment. We need five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Segment two, let's do this.
And now, your deep thought.
I have to say, when the annals of history look back at this time, they'll realize that we've been making one large mistake. The plural of moose is not moose, it's meese. You might think I'm wrong, but you're on the wrong side of history.
And that was your deep thought.
I still believe that.
I do too.
You know?
I actually think you're right on that, because it's just, it's silly for us to have the plural of moose be
right.
Moose.
Goose and geese. The, yep, only difference is an M or a G.
Right.
Magnesium. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, oh, I could tell you. I just don't think you are. You're wrong.
I feel like I should have a chalkboard doing the Glenn Beck thing, like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You look over here, and then you try.
Hey, look. What is this? A man with a funny mustache? Who did that? Mark Twain, Huckleberry Finn, berries, strawberries, Wizard of Oz.
Oh, wow.
It's all in Kansas. Okay.
Wow.
I know. Yeah, we're a little off the rails here. So we're back for the second segment. We have four great poets lined up. Now, JT, I don't have a submission lined up to go in before this.
Okay.
But let's go in... As soon as you're ready, let's head into Dennis in Michigan. I'm sorry to be rushing you there, buddy.
No, you're okay.
Okay.
And he is not in the wrist.
Oh.
He's up in Saginaw.
Oh, no kidding. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Hello. I'm good.
You're good. So you're in a different part of the state, huh?
Yes. I've moved out of the carpal tunnel area, and I'm up in the Saginaw region this evening.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a meeting of the Poetry Society of Michigan to go to in the morning, so I thought I'd come up today, and so I wouldn't have to drive up in the morning.
Oh, that's great. Well, okay. Well, cool. So, we're happy that you still got to join us and call in.
Yes, yes, and I'm glad I'm able to make the connection. We missed you last week, but then we're sure are glad that you are back.
We're happy to be back, too.
Friday just isn't the same when you're away.
It's kind of strange when we're not with you guys, too. I got to be honest. It just feels awkward.
Yes, it did for me.
Well, Dennis, so what do you have for us now?
All right. I have a poem that I've been kicking around in my head. I had to contact Barbara for some technical advice on what I was writing. I needed some expertise. She gave me some good ideas. I'm not sure I had a pepper blessing, but this is what I wrote. It's since I retired, I've been looking into my genealogy. And during that, I sent off for a DNA report. And this is a poem about my DNA report. The title is My DNA Test Results. Once secure in oral histories from grandparents and my kin, was I to trust the family story of where my forefathers have been? Was I ready for this test? How else could I have known where my ancestral genes came from, lest by DNA test shown? Now, right there in black and white, it stands so plain to see the ingredients of the recipe that make up my family tree. The Western European line with its English, Irish, Scot was what I had expected, never gave it a second thought. Then the line shifted eastward to what I never knew. It said that from Eastern Europe, I was an Ashkenazi Jew. I impulsively look for bargains now. I've never noticed that before. And a taste for lox and bagels. I'm unable to ignore. Hay fever in the springtime. Oh, how my eyelids droop. May need some penicillin. Or perhaps some chicken soup. May have to rethink my meals. How will matzah go with pork? With Easter, Passover at the same time, what do I put on my fork? Will this affect my writing when I write each new poem? And will I have to end it with a true heartfelt shalom. I might be overreacting on revealed DNA descent, on being an Ashkenazi Jew, since I'm only 5%. End of poem.
Only 5%.
Oi.
Oi. Oh, I enjoyed that one very, very much, Dennis. It had me laughing.
Yeah. It's good and fun, yeah.
All right. I didn't write it to offend anyone. I just meant it in good fun. And if I did offend anyone, I apologize.
I don't see anybody in here that it looks like you offended, but understood.
Yes. That's where I've been.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you back, and it always means so much to hear your voice again.
Well, I appreciate that, and what a blessing it is to be here. And thank you so very much for providing this platform and this gathering of poets. It really is an extended family for me, and I love y'all. So, but I'm going to step aside and let the next person step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, not in the carpal tunnel, but the, would you say the?
It's in the thumb area.
The thumb.
Yeah.
All right. The thumb of Michigan.
Yeah, he was letting me know where he was.
The positive part of Michigan.
Yep. But up here.
Yeah. All right. Now we're going to head to Cleveland, Ohio for a wonderful conversation with Mama Oladeji. Mama, how are you?
Oh, you sneaked up on me.
It's our ninja tendencies. We're pretty good at that.
All right. Welcome back, you guys. We really missed you. And much love to both of you and all the poets out there. You have just filled my heart with poetry. I am feeling like I'm floating on a poetry cloud. Oh. So I'm going to mess everything up now and read one of my featured poems that everybody hated, but it had to be featured because it was the truth. And it's called The Annoying Game. Annoying game. Cheers. Quite annoying. Voices muttered. Quiet chatter. Huddled in confusion. Boring broadcasters. Feigned excitement. Children watching. Not so hello drama. The curse preventing Felix the Cat's first act. More chatter accompanies horrible organ music. Resounding cheers. Greeks speak. Plays called. He walks the bases on cleats. Dinner is served on TV trays. Uncle does not move. He sits on the throne, commandeering black and white screens with rabbit ears. I wait for the final cheers of the win. Yes, it's over. Or the boos for the losers. Baseball, what a way to ruin a child's summer. And one of the comments said, Vicky, baseball does not ruin every child's summer, although I get your point. It's not. It's an interesting poem. Vicariously, some of us would have wanted to be on that screen. It's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game that counts. Keep playing. I'm like, shut the hell up. I was a girl child. So anyway.
I like that.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about today was opening day for the Colorado Rockies here in Denver, and it was snowing outside, which was awesome. But the thing that's, you know, what your poem made me think of, and I was listening to some of the game earlier today, and you know, it's at least as a boy, I learned a lot about life through baseball. Did you ever play baseball, JT?
Yeah. Not official capacity kind of thing, sure. But definitely played around and learned the rules through my dad and like that, watching it. And
there's something about playing catch with your dad. I mean, that's a big one. But also, like, you know, I think you and I also had football as well. And I went to baseball because I loved football. Football was my thing. But after I had treatment for cancer and they had to do surgery on my arm, I couldn't play football anymore. So I had to switch to baseball. But yeah, sports is a young man anyway. I mean, that's all I can speak to. Really, really taught a lot. Things we still use, actually.
Yep.
To this day.
Yeah, well, I'm really surprised that they chose that poem because, like I'm telling you, some people were very upset. But you have to remember, I was a girl child. Now, playing baseball or playing, you know, bunt ball or whatever is fun. But just sitting there watching it for the whole day. On a summer day? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It was good fun. And like I said in the poem, that organ music and that oven, I don't even know what they're talking about. It sounded like Greek. I mean, it was just crazy.
Dum, 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 dum. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. There's only like two or three ballparks that actually have actual organists anymore.
Yep.
A lot of it is still recorded. I had a dream about writing some ridiculous movie about competition between organists.
Well, you guys, I got a surprise for you. There's a young lady that was supposed to come on today. She's already put her icon, link, name, username in the program. And she's also a musician. She plays the guitar. But she was up with me all night last night on the phone, and then she ate real late. And when she woke up today, she had food poisoning, so she couldn't come today. But her name is Samantha Margaret, and I'm telling you, you guys are going to love her. I can't wait until she gets well and comes on.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
Fantastic.
That'll be great, yeah.
All right. Great. Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Goodbye. Goodbye. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. That was awesome. Actually, I really liked that one.
Yeah, it was.
It's funny. It's You know, it's interesting because I've talked to people before. There's a lot of people who don't get into sports at all, and usually, you know, you and I will go on some pretty big diatribes about things with sports or with anything really.
Yeah.
But it's funny how I'll mention something. I can mention something about sports to some people who don't pay attention. They'll be like, yeah, okay, whatever. And it's not from a negative place, but it's they don't get it. But the other thing is like there's been times where we've had to make decisions about the show. We've had to make decisions if we were going to go with the radio station or, you know, take all these things, and we weren't sure what to do. And by sitting there and actually watching some really good strategists play a football game, I remember going, oh, that's what we should do.
Yep.
Because I saw a metaphor in their strategy, and it made total sense. And so I, for me, that's what it's always about. And so in a way, I'm going back to that Nietzsche idea of there's no hierarchy in pleasures, right? So, in a way, you know, it's I'm choosing to see it as a metaphorical play rather than just a sports one. But, you know, it's funny how she can mention it and it just sets off all these thoughts about it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to a great friend of the show, to George in Michigan. Hey, George, how are you?
Hey, I'm just fine. How are you?
Doing very well. Very well. Thank you for calling in. And I appreciate, just a side note, appreciate you listening and your comments on the Daily Podcast as well. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. I was listening about this about sports and Mom's great poem, and I was remembering that probably the peak of my sport, I played all the sports, but that as a parent, I decided, I just couldn't say no. So somebody drafted me to coach youth baseball, among other sports. Well, of course, but I think that the peak we reached was when a little boy about 6 years old hit the ball and then ran to third. and I thought, this is what it's really all about.
Yeah, that is really what it's all about.
And the great clash there was that the mother thought it was wonderful, and the father thought it was horrible.
Yep.
So there's a gender difference and of course the old thing about him sitting out in the outfield picking dandelions and things is really true.
Yeah.
Or staring off somewhere. But that was my one other little thing about that is that when I was at the college, all these PhDs and, you know, a group of academics sitting around, and I thought, well, maybe I like sports, and I talk about them quite a bit, and I write about them quite a bit, and but I mean, I don't put them over life or suffrage or human rights or anything like that.
Sure, yeah.
But I try to put them into perspective. But I find it to be a big escape, a nice escape for me from the drudges of watching the cable news.
I agree.
About everything.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's an escape, just like reading a beach novel or something. And that's the great thing too is it's totally unpredictable most of the time. Mm-hmm. Witness this, my bracket last week, but anyway, which was disheveled, if anything. But the thing is, it's still not quite predictable. And what I was going to say is that these peers of mine at the college, I found out that a good part of them were just like crazy in love with sports, and they just wouldn't admit it to their friends. Until we challenged them to a bracket one year or something. And then all of a sudden, hey, it's all right to talk sports with guys who, you know, only eat tofu.
Yeah.
And read Nietzsche. Yeah. They eat read Nietzsche.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, I digress. I want to read, I cannot for life of me recall if I read this poem about called Just Another Late Sunset here, and I'm trying to keep a good list.
Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar, George. I could be wrong too, but it doesn't sound familiar.
Well, okay, well, I'll jump right in and start then if you don't mind.
Not at all. Go ahead.
Just Another Late Sunset. Hand painted clouds draw down the day and beckon the ducks to shore. as the horizon straightens to a gilded edge. The water's front line of foam and sand is diminished to smallness as the light retreats, and the bravado of the day's water becomes a sunset's blush. The blue, then pearled, then purple clouds begin the wisp of somber departure. The orange sun pulls them down with the nightshade. A tiny pajama child taps my shoulder, complaining he can't sleep. I draw him under my warm wool jacket. We hush and we watch. The small waves pull up their sheets over the chin of the beach and await the darkness. To abandon a sunset just as it sets is a mistake in love and judgment. For the glory after the red orb leaves is fully half the show. An old cork bobber turns up on the shore as the languid scent of drying sand activates my childhood memories. The beached grains of sand, retired from their moving duty, now dry themselves into the small footprints of shorebirds. Their indentations now stay intact, unwashed. The overhanging oak leaves are darkened and silhouetted as the background of sky turns its power over to the stars. And a heron stops in with a leg up on its shallow prey. The quietude, the flatness of it all, as a waxing moon greets the oncoming Venus, while a loon announces its pure magic with the tremolo. Now full nightness has enveloped the shore. The line between water and sky is gone. My nature lesson between a man and boy is now complete, and the child is full asleep. End of poem.
I don't remember that one. I really enjoyed that one, George.
Well, thank you. I spent 15 years at watching sunsets at that place, and so I wrote a lot. I've written a lot, but I took a lot of picture photos.
Yeah.
I mean, sunset photos are like, you know, good and plenty or something. You just get so many, you don't know what to do with them. But something that's very real to me. And I probably, and alone, many, many nights alone watching sunsets, no one else was interested in going out in the chill or something.
Yeah.
With the rain or whatever. But, you know, I sat there with my camera. And now I'll try to regurgitate something from them as I go. But I appreciate it.
I think there's something.
And I will. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think there's something really kind of beautiful about that, too, is that, you know, I remember hearing one time from, I don't remember who was talking. They were saying that they had at one point talked to a shaman, and that the shaman had talked about how the reason that people find solace and kind of it elevates their mood to look at the sunrise or the sunset is that lithium is one of the elements of sunlight that somehow enters the, I don't really know if that's any truth to that at all. But I think I've always really, really loved the sunset or the sunrise. Of course, in Colorado, the sunrise is the thing where you really get to see the sun coming up. Otherwise, it's all behind mountains here. But, I made a point of, there was a long time where I was going to bed so late I would see the sun coming up. And now I wake up to see the sun come up. And that to me means a lot more. And
it is. And it's the one set that gets so little attention because everybody else is sleeping or driving through traffic in the morning.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
You know, it's this, my son that works in downtown Denver, he goes to work, you know, east from his part of Denver West.
It's right in his
and
face.
He drives east. Goes east, and he says some of the sunrises over the city are just spectacular.
Yeah, they are.
And so he stops with his cell phone and takes pictures, you know, and sends them, and I think, my God, and they're every bit as remarkable sometimes with the peaches, the roses, and the reds that a sunset can be.
It's the truth. I think anywhere we are, if we just slow down and we sometimes see these things, it is incredible to me that people we'll be sitting there at traffic, and the sun will be kind of coming down, and everybody will be kind of bothered by it and pulling down their visors and putting on their sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put the sunglasses on too, but I'll also be very aware that the thing that's kind of blinding us all is a gigantic burning ball of gas that is keeping us all alive. I mean, when you start fathoming what this is, it is so incredible, and yet it's so easy to get used to it because we fall into entropy all the time.
It's sort of the underappreciated set of the sun,
a
rise or set of the sun. Okay, well,
thank you.
That's how I feel about sunsets and sunrises, and I used to set my alarm first. Thank you, and I'll step aside.
Hey, thank you, George. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan. I think he and I could get into some long-term, long-form conversations here.
Yep.
But hopefully when he comes out and visits his family,
maybe
we can find a way to get together, spend time having a lunch or something like that. So at any rate, we'll finish this segment. I'm going to do the poetic form of the month after we talk to Mary, and then we will do the return engagement. Then we'll end World Poetry Open Mic proper, and we will go to the After Dark segment. Sound right?
Yep.
Okay,
that is correct, sir.
So, Mary, give us a call. I'm going to give it a few more seconds. Oh, there she is.
Perfect.
Perfect. Good evening, Mary. How are you?
Oh, look at me being all proper and Mary-like.
You are, yes. I almost sang...
I'm a finishing segment.
That's right.
There we go. No, I'm an honor to be among you. Do you understand? And then we go from there. Once you understand my heart and where I come from and how it is nice to be among these beautiful souls, I'm going to play a little bit of what I do on a piano, but it's not me. That's in the background. And then the silly little words are me. Whatever I thought to scribble just lately. I go through a lot, but you already know that. Mom and Daddy tried to not let me see things, but I did anyway. They became so ordinary things because they were done in such an ordinary manner, see, saying no big deal. And so I came to see them as ordinary, like blessing yourself before you eat and praying before you go to sleep and when you wake up in the morning. And true, you feel these things. I still feel them too. Like trying not to swear, but hearing it enough anyway, and screamed at too, where you feel you're kind of emerged as if you were rubbing the darkness. Like seeing people getting hit by one another for things that didn't make sense to me, at least. The hitting was always worse than the offense to me, see? As a latter, the hitting was done purposefully and with a lot of intent sometimes. And the former, the offense, was usually done harmlessly or mischievously, but almost never maliciously. And even, here come my friend. Come on, Karen, as I read the rest. And even when it may have been malicious, it got murky. See, like this lady you were defending was seeing even more violence after all the violence she'd seen already. I hate violence. I wish I could just kill it. See, sometimes I do. Human conditions we fall into anyway. As far as I knew enough that I didn't want to be hit, and I didn't want to do things to get hit in the presence of the people I came to see as the hitters. I also didn't think much of their advice or the other things they had to say or do. They didn't seem to be thinking when they spoke or did things. I hated that. I came to see that as ordinary, too. Oh, and like saying one thing and doing another, like saying you were true and honest and loved God and all things holy, but you could just as easily do things to small girls and boys and children that should not be done to them at their tender ages. And that small children who were victims will have repercussions for much of the rest of their lives. Perhaps, especially when it comes to choosing love or mates or having and raising children of their own if they ever choose or do so. Lying as ordinary as the snowflakes in Wisconsin in the wintertime. With extra freezing over for extra good measure, just for the pure hell of it sometimes. hidden agendas, hidden lies, hidden formulas, which we play all of them into, all in synchrony, as disharmonious as the instruments that never made it out of the drawing room. I hated all that. The ordinariest, I felt, in things that really shouldn't be so ordinary, but still are for so many in so many ways. Then I did feel that I was ordinary. At least I didn't feel inordinary anymore. Now I'm pretty darn pleased when I say I feel like an ordinary person having a beautiful, ordinary day. No hidden agendas, no broken envelopes. Just living, breathing, hearing my beats and tone and tune. Maybe perhaps to help others feel more ordinary than me. Too. End point.
That was a beautiful piece.
I scribbled it. You know, I went through some stuff. I didn't go. Some of it is fiction. Like, some of it is foggy. People who've gone through stuff, it isn't all, like, clear, like Chris.
I understand. Yeah, but I thought it really resonated, and I thought it had a, you know, that honesty that we expect from your work. I mean, and we expect it because you give it, you know, but you can tell it's true.
If I was standing before you, and I bowed and humbly, it couldn't mean more. And thank you, Michael and JT. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
On to the next one.
All right. Thank you, Mary. We love you.
You're welcome. And we love you, too.
Bye. And that was Mary calling from Arizona with another just wonderful piece.
Yeah.
You know, Mary does remind me of myself in one way, and that is that she calls herself not a poet, but yet she writes poetry.
Yes.
And once I got corrected of that, I realized, oh, yes. I guess I am a poet.
Yes.
And only I would honestly fall into the poet but not know it thing. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm a late bloomer in a lot of ways. That's probably one of them. Maybe one day I'll have pubic hair. All right. So, it is now time for our poetic form of the month. JT, do you have music for that one?
Yes.
Poetic form of the month. That's right. I forgot about that one. Okay, so this one is kind of a dual poetic form of the month. Are you ready? The first one is called a tonka. Okay, so it's basically like a haiku.
Okay.
But instead of being, you know, the three-line, 5-7-5-syllable poem,
okay,
a tonka is a five-line poem that is 5-7-5-7-7. Okay, as far as syllables go.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
All right.
So, which is really cool. So, an example would be, here's an attempt of one, okay? And this isn't mine. This is from someone who just put it up here. Chopin's waltzes turn circles in my head for hours as I think of her hand turning the world inside out. So, that'd be an example of a tonka, okay?
Okay.
So, that's the first part.
All right.
The second part, if you would choose to do it, is a somanka. And what a somanka is, it's a Japanese form, and it's two tonkas written one after another as two love letters to each other. So one tonka is to one lover, and the next one is the response to the first one. So here's an example. This is by Robert Lee Brewer called Sugar. First one, I'm waiting to die. I think it will happen soon. This morning I saw two bright hummingbirds battling over some sugar water. The response, I know, I was there. I chased after them for you until thirst stopped me. Fetch me some water. I have a little sugar for you. That's a somanka. So that is two tonkas put together. One, it's essentially a love letter. The first one is from one person to the other. It doesn't have to be a love letter technically, but that is the true form is as a love letter.
All right.
I'll put that up on our main page. If you want to go to it, you'll be able to in just a few moments here. But that is our poetic form or forms of the month. All right. So it's time for the return engagement. Good, JT. The return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. I'm really proud of that one.
It's good stuff.
All right. So anybody who wants to read a poem, you can call in. Anybody who has already read and wants to read another, go ahead and call in. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back for the return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. Ta-ya! Very nice. Like a glove. Okay. JT, I think we need to replace the cord that you have.
Ow! plugging in.
And he's not kidding, folks. Oh. Like, this is actually a thing. Oh. JT, we need to replace this cable.
Oh.
Okay.
Hang on. All right. Just a moment.
Okay.
Stall.
Okay, I'm going to stall. So JT is now, okay, he has now unplugged one of the cables. He is now placing another cable within. Okay, I think he's better now.
Woo.
How you feel? All right?
Yeah, I
feel
hope
better.
So I hope so.
Okay, all right, it's okay.
Oh. Man, that was
scary there for a second.
God,
scary there for a moment.
Jumped me right out of my seat.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Okay,
it's just a button. Ooh. I have control over.
Ooh.
You okay?
Okay, we're good. Okay. So we're back. We've got some great callers lined up. How many do we have, JT?
We have a total of eight.
Eight callers. That's fantastic. So we're going to get into it, and then after that, we will end the show proper. We will go to the After Dark segment. Okay, let's go right away. Let's just not even mince words. Let's go right away to Dennis. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Yes, I'm back. And I didn't mention the first time... This is National Poetry Month.
That's right.
But some people think that we celebrate one month a year. So that just isn't true. The National Poetry Month is in April, which sets off the year-long celebration. It's just the lead-off month, and then we celebrate it every other month of the year until the next April, and we start it all over again.
Very true.
Sounds great.
Very works true. For me.
Yes. So I'm glad it's April. It's like Christmas for poets.
Although I got to say, every week feels like that for us. But you know, I definitely can see that. Yeah.
This is true. But we are able to expose more people to poetry and the appreciation of poetry and. Many people that don't hear poetry otherwise have a chance to hear it because we're more likely to share it.
Absolutely. That makes sense. Sure.
Yes. Well, for my reading, I would like to read a poem I wrote. I was included in the Garden of Poetry and Prose Write with the topics of kintsugi and permanence. As you have heard other poets read some poems from that, Diane and Jerry were very, very kind in letting me come and visit them and share something on those topics. So this is my entry into those prompts, the title being Regarding Poetry and Man, Prose and Poetry. The first two parts are in prose. The third part is two Senru poems. So this is my offering. Poetry, I'm sorry, start all over again. Pottery is fragile while functioning in its designed purpose.
it may be subject to careless handling, perhaps slipping out of wet hands and impacting on a hard surface. It is prone to crack and break. If it is an honored and treasured object, as an heirloom plate or a pole, the owner is grieved at the premature damage and the disruption of service. The owner will lovingly pick up each piece and determine if it can be reassembled and repaired in the kintsugi discipline. Painstakingly, the owner will put the disjointed pieces together as one would do putting together a jigsaw puzzle. With lacquer mixed with powdered gold, the revered objects regains a semblance of its former shape. Only now it is more precious with its golden seams of resilience. The restored vessel is then handled with even greater respect, thus lending to its use a perceived sense of greater permanence and honor. Part two. In one's youth, there is a feeling of permanence, as if we could live forever, and that optimism continues until the reality of life rears its ugly head and devours youthful innocence and aspirations. As man lives, he faces heartache and loss, beat down by poor choices and circumstances beyond his control. He succumbs to the depths of depression and despair, becoming of no use to anyone. His creator and owner looks down in compassion at this broken man, wraps his healing wings of mercy around him, and reassembles this broken life in a kintsugi fashion. He fills the gaping seams with love and bonds the man with new purpose and direction. Man's epiphany of God's love and honor gives him a new insight as to his value and purpose. It is then that his life is transformed to a new gold standard. Part three. Broken pottery, parts lovingly collected, kintsugi healing. Permanence of man, displaced by daily assault, divinely restored. End of poem.
That was really good, Dennis.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. That was really, really good. Wow.
Provide some wonderful prompts to write to, and it's like Barbara says, you reach out beyond yourself and write about things you probably wouldn't normally write about, but it gives you a reason to stretch and to grow as a poet, and I appreciate them allowing me to come visit. And it's a wonderful experience. And thank you, Diane. Thank you, Jerry, and all the regulars that are there in the garden. What a wonderful time of writing fellowship it is. And I'm glad to be a small part of that. So that is my contribution for tonight. And I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up and read, because I know you have other things to attend to after this return engagement. So I'm not going to delay you too much longer. I'm just going to step aside and say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you. And that was Dennis Collin from Michigan, starting us off with this beautiful return engagement we have going on here. This is going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
And he started off in a beautiful way.
It's a really good piece.
It was. All right, let's head now to across the Atlantic again. Let's go to the UK and Titus.
Good morning. It's not morning there, is it yet?
No, not yet. But, not for us.
We live in a timeless state, as long as we're being poetic, you know.
Yeah, I think being high up as you are, you could be the American version of Olympus, couldn't you?
We could.
Close to it, yeah.
Yeah, there's not nearly enough toga wearing up here, though.
Okay, Zeus. Actually, during your the second group of readers, in that little interval, I actually wrote a poem.
Did you? Wonderful.
It.
Okay.
5 minutes it took, but I'll read that next week. But this one is called The Ghost of Lewis Carroll. It's only a small... I was going to, after writing, reading the Archaic one earlier... I thought I'd leave Lady of the Lake for another week, but this is The Ghost of Lewis Carroll. Carroll, I prefer to include myself into your story. Inform me, said the Hatter, who had tried prevent one from pretending party pride. A sky blew up there, they'll wish it cried. But Alice, you're our sunshine guest today. For you, the Hatter gave a spate so hoary to that man who Lewis Carroll said himself, a dormouse, me, I would suggest madness has incorporated a minor mischief. Sadness, the man himself, an authority on how to lay, does purport to insinuate that a pot of tea was found to be empty. Now that'd be silly. I deter to exclude bad health, do not worry. Conform to shape, a matter of fact, he lied. It wasn't long ago, having left, he'll hide. No. No, wait a minute, Alice said. He died. Oh, got cut off.
Oh, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Sorry.
We weren't sure. Okay.
Okay.
That was a good
piece. Did that come through?
Yeah, it did. It did. Right at the end, it looked. It sounded like it cut off, but it did come through.
Yeah, we weren't sure if you were totally done or not, so that's why we were being quiet.
Yeah. No, that was sorry. Yeah, well, I was died.
No, that was lovely. Thank you, Titus.
That was good.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Of course. Goodbye. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time. And that was Titus Collins from the UK. Early morning there. Like I said earlier, it's it means a lot that someone will get up that early to call and to share. And I know it's not just us. It's everybody involved in the show that, you know, we engage with each other that way. And I don't know. I think it's quite cool. Let's go now to Diane in Florida. Diane, how are you?
I'm good. Tomorrow is my first Saturday off in 2 years.
Wow.
What are you going to do?
I was going to say, you going to go to Disney World? Just kidding.
No, that's next Saturday.
Oh, okay. All right.
You going to go fight some alligators?
Yes.
Nice.
They just had a big, huge one in their swimming pool. It's like 11 feet.
Really?
Yeah. That was like this past week.
See, that's crazy, isn't it?
Imagine going out and jumping in the pool and wow.
Well, I think technically you would want to look in the pool before you do that, right?
You always look before you leap.
Not always.
Yeah, I know. I could be, you know, get out there early enough.
You know, the thing that I've realized, though, is like that sometimes in life it's not necessarily that there might be a crocodile in the pool, but my thing is that I might be in Denver, Colorado, and a crocodile's in the bathtub, you know, or something.
If you have a crocodile in Denver, you have some major issues because crocodiles do not exist in North America.
Well,
alligators are in America.
Can I bring
Sorry.
Something up?
Oh, yes.
That technically neither of them, quote,
are here, so they would have to be brought here.
Yeah.
So if someone brought a crocodile from another part of the world, you there could be a crocodile here.
Yes,
I was making a general statement. My God.
I can't help myself. You got some major issues.
Try not to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I remember. So there's
horses for horses.
Well, no. So Diane, there's a website called Nextdoor, which is about the communities and neighborhoods. I think it's pretty much everywhere. I remember
I think I've seen something about that. I'm
okay.
Not sure that
it's kind of getting bigger and bigger. Well, there's a thing where it was sent out to all of the teachers this last fall by the priest, and he said he kind of added the preamble. I'm pretty sure this is completely ridiculous, but I figured I'd send it out anyway. And it was a message from someone saying that they had just seen a king cobra and a black mamba together going through backyards, eating everyone's flowers, and threatening pets.
You know what? I mean, I've seen stories. I couldn't tell you exactly where, but somebody that raised or had exotic snakes.
Oh, and that's totally possible. Right.
No, and it's a true story. I mean, just one of those out of the – and it turned out – I don't know if he was releasing them or if they were escaping.
Yeah.
It was, all within, one city. And it was, they kept – it was, over, a period of time that it was, people were reporting, a king cobra or, just exotic snakes. And it was, they finally – and it took a while. They got it all down to, this one man who was breeding them or raising them or something. And somehow they were either escaping or, really good storyline. He was breeding them and releasing them. But anyway, it was a true story. I mean, and I can't – and for some reason, I want to say that it was somewhere where Mary lives, Arizona. It was a dry area, Arizona or, one of the desert.
That heat makes you crazy. No, I think the only reason – I brought that up and that it was making me laugh is the idea if these two snakes got out – fair enough. I mean, that could happen. That's very realistic. However, the fact that they were together and they were going through yards destroying things, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't think reptilians started packs, I like the idea that they were starting a poisonous snake gang.
And the thing is they're not – I think they're carnivorous. I don't think they would be destroying gardens. They would be eating
the... Yeah, I know. But I figure I would picture seeing the king cobra in a jean jacket with the sleeves cut off and the black mamba started smoking and
sounds like a far side.
Yeah, and they're snapping as they're going.
Far side cartoon.
When you're a snake, you're a snake all the way from your from your first scared pet to your last dying day. All right. Anyway, Diane, sorry. Thank you for listening to my rambling.
No apologies needed. Continuing in the and forgive me. What you're hearing that wind? Those are my fans.
Those are the fans. Okay, I didn't know. Okay.
He has this huge audience behind him.
We've been actually having some really beautiful weather. The fact that I've been outside of the home, my bedroom door gets closed and the room gets hot. So I was out for most of the evening and I came in. It's very warm. So I have my fans on and I do apologize.
No need to apologize. I just wasn't sure if you were outside or inside. That's okay.
No, I know. Actually, I'm outside. It's a beautiful moonlit night. The ocean out. No, just kidding. Anyway, I'm sorry for
hardly any crocodiles or alligators or poisonous snakes.
Well, now I have been a bit dearth with poetry lately, and I'm glad to say that I actually wrote something this week, and it was using Jan's beautiful prompts, and I'm also working on something with Barbara's beautiful prompts. I took kind of a different tact than other people did with Jan's prompts, which were Kintsugi, the Golden Repair, and the words Kintsugi and Permanence. And my poem is entitled Beauty to Ashes. You came to me a broken man, and I was broken too. Despite the loss and hurt we've had, I found a permanence in you. When someday soon they lay us down in shallow graves, our ash combined, together without end we'll show just how to love and then to go. This love we share has been a lifetime of all the things that can force one to the knees, all the times I thought we would break, but didn't.
Once or twice upon a time, I remember the cracks, the might have beens. You and that French dancer. Me and that lean librarian. Oh, my. Time has passed, and here you are, and here I am, still. Kintsugi is an art in Japan where they make broken things more beautiful. They patch with silver. They patch with gold. They patch with platinum. And time. Time can patch broken hearts, has patched ours. We hit the 25th anniversary, our silver. We fought like crazy over whether to take a cruise or trip to Hawaii, and instead went to Wichita to take care of your mom. We hit the 50th in gold and argued over our daughter's wedding plans and wondered why we had to give up the cruise to attend that wild wedding ceremony she planned at Burning Man. And thank God they settled instead on Vegas and Elvis. Did we do something wrong that this is her third time? We wear the patches on our faces now, lined, cracked. And bending a knee has become something we both like to remember but seldom actually do. Although you looked so fine in those yoga poses when we took those classes despite the 80s running pants. God willing, we will make it to platinum. Lines running down our face, broken bodies hobbling in walkers. Broken promises, broken dreams, and bills, always the bills, all part of the past. Now breaking is more than just a bone. If I break before you, follow me home. This life we shared, the dreamlit past, and no future to face except eternity. My love, after all this, the platinum and you, my eternal love, if there is a permanence in anything, I found it in you. And God willing, whatever comes after this broken life with our broken past, our broken souls, will only be what we have now, a permanence in the love that has saved all of it in the utmost and most beautiful of memories, beauty from ashes. And I will share your ashes gladly in lines of silver, gold, and the pure platinum of your broken soul. Follow me home, love. Follow me home. Always. Follow me home to eternity.
That's a beautiful, beautiful piece.
That was one that kind of came out of nowhere, and it just... I'd actually written a much more complicated piece, and it just kind of didn't go anywhere. And then out of the blue, I was like, silver, gold, platinum, whoa.
Wow.
25, 50, 75th. So I just pictured this beautiful couple, similar to Barbara and her Hal, Susan her and her husband, other couples I've known, couple next door. She just recently lost her husband after 55 years, and I just kind of came out of nowhere. So I kind of think I like what Dennis or one of them said about sometimes it makes you stretch a little farther than your own experience.
Yeah.
And anyway, thank you, gentlemen. You guys provide such a service to all of us. And I just want to commend, you know, there have been some great compliments on the garden tonight. I just want all of you to know that the garden would not exist except for all of you. And it's not about reaching a bar or who is better than who. Poetry is not a competition. It's about coming together and communing the way we all like to commune. I still have a lot to learn, and I'm learning from Tony, from you guys, about all the different ways that you can write poetry. I still have a long way to go with all of that. And somebody who I don't think gets enough credit at times, I just want to commend Barbara. She is my other editor. She goes in after me. When I'm not available, she's there for anybody to make changes to. Everybody contributes their own. Again, thank you guys, because I'm tearing up again. I don't know why. I have Saturday off. That's why. Okay,
it's okay. Yeah.
Dilly dilly.
Diane, we love you, and thank you so much. And enjoy your Saturday. You deserve it, okay?
We love you, too. That's the whole point, is it's all about love.
That's it. That's right.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Diane calling from a very windy room in Florida. Actually, I totally understand. Totally get it. You know, I'm definitely a utilizer of fans myself.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do during the summers in here.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you remember that?
Yep.
It's funny because now, like, I'm kind of bundled up with, you know. Well, not bundled up, but I've got warmer stuff on. I wouldn't dream of wearing that in the summer in here.
No. No, not at all.
It's too much, yeah. Yeah, too much. All right, let's go now to Pennsylvania, land of sunshine, and visit Jim.
Hello.
Hello, Jim. How's it going?
Dilly dilly.
Okay. Dilly dilly.
Yeah. All right. Well, you would be kicked out of the Masters, my friend. Kicked out of the Masters. All right. What do you have for us this time?
Well, like I said, it's one that I wrote today.
Yeah, okay.
It took me a while because I usually get them done in the morning, at least for this month. So it's titled Alone With You. Alone with you, the female of the species, here behind a closed door in a narrow room. Upon seeing me disrobed for necessity's sake, you are desperate to get out, pleading in a language I do not speak, until I relent and let you join the other cats. End of poem.
That was pretty good.
True story.
I think JT really resonates with that. Oh, true story.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. I have so experienced that with my cats. You're just like, really? Yeah. I gotta go. Can I please leave? Okay.
Well, I let Pepper in while I was taking a bath.
Yep.
And as I got undressed so I could take the bath, she looks at me and tries to get out.
Yep.
And meows the whole time I'm in the tub.
Yep.
Until I let her out.
Says why I don't have a cat.
Well, that's one reason.
You know, that's one reason I don't have a cat. You know, here's something that people don't know. And this is something that we recently really discovered, at least I did. JT is a living embodiment of John from the Garfield comics. And except for the fact he's married, obviously. But
John's married now.
John's married now, that's right.
Yeah.
But Garfield, large, fat, orange cat. Right? JT has Seamus, a large, fat, orange cat.
Yep.
JT, I won't let it slip what your actual name is, but it begins with J and ends with N.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, so it basically ends up being very much the same scenario, just in a real life thing.
Yeah.
And he gets yelled at by Seamus every evening.
All the time.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Anyway, all right, long story. But, Jim, I think that's a true story. It's gripping. It's intense. And I think you should try to sell it to Los Angeles. Sell it to a movie studio.
Now, on a side note, all the poems I've done this month, I wrote them in my head when I was getting baths.
Yep. Okay.
Awesome. Okay, cool.
And my orange cat is laying on the bed, ignoring me. Because that's what cats do.
That's what cats do. I've been around tigers, Jim. They do exactly the same thing. And they get into boxes.
It's pretty much what the other three cats do. Yeah. Ignore me.
Yeah, that's sounds about right. All right. Hey, Jim, thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, anytime. Have a good night. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Sten, give us a call. All right. So I think that's pretty solid stuff.
Yeah.
Cats are such an interesting breed. I do like cats, although they have come out saying that it's apparently proven that dogs have more neural receptors or something than cats. I don't really care. I think it's not about smart. It's just temperature of...
It's a cat versus
it's,
a dog.
It's just totally different things, right?
Yeah, yeah, they are.
Hey, Stan, how's it going?
It's going great. You got to love James. You have to.
Of course.
This can go so deep with his brevity and then turn around and come up with something like that. It's great. I love that.
It is really, really enjoyable. I agree with you 100%. 100%. So it's been a great show tonight, but what do you have to add for us in this segment?
Well, in this segment, I'm digging up an older poem. It was called In Each. And I was looking at the author's note I left with it, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to add that too. Because it's sure. Part of the actual content and context of the poem.
Okay.
Which is that life is a progressive movement forward, always. Always forward. And so this is going to be In Each.
In each pulse, life is anew. In each breath, winds of change. In each thought, a new reality. In each step, new journeys begin. For each forward moment, a place you've never been. In peace.
Really love that one, actually. Wow. Great job, Stan. I mean, as always, well, I know we always say that, but I mean it, you know.
Well, I liked it because, like I said, I do enjoy brevity. I really do. Because you can put so much in such a small, compact, you know, composition. But, I thought I'd just go ahead and kind of revamp that one by adding that ending to it.
That's beautiful. I think it worked really, really well.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course.
And on to the next.
All right. Hey, Stan, I appreciate you very much. And, it wouldn't be a show without you. So thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'll be back.
Okay.
Oh, no. Okay. All right, Stan. All right. We'll talk to you next time then. Next segment. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. This has been a really good return engagement.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go now to Connecticut. It is now after midnight there. Oh Barbara, I think you're going to have to call us back again. And we're hearing that noise.
So quick.
Mama Oladeji and Mary is probably going to be the same for you as well. So if you want to hang up, we will understand. We'll just tell you when to call in. Just make sure you're keeping your ears peeled, okay? All right, so we're waiting for Barbara to give us a call. So we have three more lined up here.
Yep.
And then after we get through those three, we'll say good night, and then we'll go to after dark. But here's Barbara. Hello, Barbara. Thanks for calling back again.
Hi. Yeah, it's going to be what I told you. It's going to be one of those nights.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, honestly, as far as little glitches and things that can go wrong with the show go, that's a real small one. So I appreciate it.
Well, as long as we're available to call back in, it's fine.
Oh, yeah, exactly, exactly. And if you're not, then you weren't really ready for your turn anyway, so we figured.
Exactly. I mean, did you really want to have a turn? I mean, are you really serious?
We've, you know, hey.
Or did you just call in, you know, it's a goof? Well, it's a goof.
Well, this is, you know, I will say there's been a time I think I remember being really sick once and laying in bed with a laptop playing the show. This was years ago, like 2013 or something. And I remember being realizing, wow, this show is, it's not quite Bob Ross meditative, but it gets pretty, especially when I'm not on here being a loudmouth, it gets really chill really fast.
Okay, so I have one very small one, 7 lines, but they're small lines, and another larger one.
Okay.
Could I read both?
7 lines and then, well, how many words are in the 7 lines? Are we talking on the road, no punctuation, no line breaks?
I mean, Stan's poem was fairly
short. Seven small lines, each about 4 words.
Okay, just go ahead and do it. I mean, since it's so short.
Okay, I want to read it for George, because George inspired me to write this one last night, and it's my first poem in April. So it's called Photo About Butterfly on Flower Bush, because that's what it was about. It was a beautiful picture of a beautiful, I had no idea what kind it was, but it was navy blue with white etching on its wings. It was gorgeous on a flower bush with red. They looked like they were, what's that flower called? The one I used to know it. Anyway, they were red flowers with little, like, 4 petals. They were beautiful. Anyway, photo about butterfly on flower bush. Floating above the flowers, its delicate, decorated, outspread wings adorn the red blooming petals as the colorful predator pounces upon its prey amid the silent world of burgeoning life. End poem.
So there's the first.
That's the first.
Wonderful. See, I'm clapping
very small,
like a rabbit.
But I wanted George to hear it because he was the inspiration for it.
Cool.
And the second one is called Waiting Time. And this comes from actually waiting. I was in the car waiting for my daughter to come. She works now at this big glass and steel building. And we were waiting for her. And this just brought up everything. So I started writing this poem, Waiting Time. Again, I'm waiting, not able to move while others move around me, sealed inside metal and glass, paralyzed in time as time passes around me. Reminds me of other times when I waited for one or the other child, wrapped up in a book or closing my eyes to catch the sleep mist as I stretched my days to fit the events. Like an overstuffed handbag, my days bursting at the seams, I welcomed the respite of waiting as a vacation, even for a few minutes. Waiting brought peace and allowed me to sort through, to examine events, and realize I was not just a chauffeur, mother, and wife. While in this paralyzed state, when time stopped for me, my life stopped too. It became an abyss of nothingness in the monstrous sea of events, a time for dreaming, wishing, and hoping, and wondering what if. End poem.
I enjoyed that one very much.
Thank you. Thank you. That's my thoughts while waiting, actually.
It makes sense. I can understand that. I see where you went there.
Well, you know, if I'm going to sit in a car with somebody and they're not talking to me, as my daughter didn't, then the only thing to do is write a poem, right? Especially if it's April.
I think that's a good one. See, what I tend to do is I start letting the awkward silence sit there, and then I'll start doing things like 1,050 bottles of beer on the wall, 150,000, to the point it's suddenly where they're like, okay, all right, fine, we'll talk. So that's where I go with it.
No, you know, we just sit there and wait. Usually it isn't long, but today it was a little longer, and so it was just enough time to start the poem. And then, of course, when my daughter got into the car, I wasn't talking to her because I was writing a poem.
Go figure. Well, Barbara, thank you so much.
Nobody even cares anymore because they figure, oh, Mom is busy on Facebook or writing a poem or something.
Or something. Yeah, well, I mean, that's how it works. Barbara, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Because when I, you know, write, I just tune everyone out. I can tune everything out. It's kind of a gift I had to, you know, have when I started writing with my family.
Sure. Well, all right.
Anyway, yes, thank you. Thank you for a great program, and I will probably be there in the after dark, but not sure.
Okay.
If I'll actually contribute.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great show, guys.
All right.
And
thank
have
you,
a
Barbara.
Great week. If
you as
I don't
well.
Talk to you again.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All
okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. Wow. All right. Are you ready? Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio, and Mama Oladeji.
Yep.
All right, Mama, we're still having that Skype issue. If you can, we're going to hang up really quickly. Just give us a call right back, okay? It's not personal. We're actually trying to disconnect it so you can come back on. Oh,
wow.
Bam, she's on top of
that.
Mama, there you are. Wow, way to go.
Yes.
You're on top of that like crazy. All right, perfect.
Okay, I don't remember the name of this style of poetry, but if you listen to the last word of each line, which is, I'll read those first so you can see how it went because you can't read it. And it goes like this. These are the last words of each line. He stood for peace, love, yet paid sacrifice for his afterlife. He stood for peace, love, yet paid sacrifice for his afterlife. Okay. And the poem goes like this. It's about John Favors.
who was the first black man to be the head of the Hare Krishna movement. They call him Bhakta Turkaswamy, John Favors, and graduated from Princeton. Before he went into this particular religion, he was my fiance. So I was the last woman to bring out the lust in him before he went away. Anyway, he's passed on, he's gone, and I pay a lot of tribute to him through poetry. And this one goes like this. John Favors is the name of it. Vishnu traveled the globe. He walked upright. He stood, teaching the masses to live for the good, promoting peace, how to trade guns for love. He negotiated, spoke up, yet lived his life on earth brave, paid to store his goods up as a sacrifice, because his living was for his dying. He put more stock in his beliefs of the eternal life. The beliefs of the eternal afterlife than his existence in this life. And again, he stood for peace, love, yet paid sacrifice for his afterlife and peace. I can't think of the name of the style, but that's that piece.
It was really neat.
Yeah, that was very cool. Mama, great work.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it.
I had a lot of good inspiration in my life, and I'm just really just elated that I have somebody that really appreciates my poetry, and I get a lot of love here, and that's why I become running back there every Friday looking for some more of that love.
All right, well, we're happy to give it to you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm resisting making a joke about an Oedipus complex with this show, but yeah. Thank you, Mama. We appreciate it. All right. We'll talk to you next time. And that was Mama Ola Deji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, thrown down with a great piece. All right, Mary, it is your turn to call in. So we'll talk for a second, but waiting for her to call in. All right. So that was it's been a really solid return engagement.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it has.
Cool.
It's good stuff.
And of course, don't forget, after this is over, we will be ending the show proper. We'll be playing the end song and all that stuff, or playing an intermission, I should
say.
There we go. That's what we're doing. I'm sorry. Yeah, playing an intermission in between, and then we'll come back and then we'll do the call-in segment. So you don't have to start calling it right when the show's over.
Yeah.
All right. Mary, call us. There we go. Perfect. Hello, Mary.
Of course, don't forget.
What? I have to wake up now here and there. And
I know. It's so. We ask a lot, but we do ask people to be, awake when they're on the show.
Here I am. I'm wide awake, and that was. Come on.
All right.
First, I miss you. It's been a couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, it has been. It has been. We're very, very serious about it. You know, we're serious about coming back ourselves. We know we need to take the time off, but one of the reasons we take the time off is we know we have to do it long. You know, over the long term, it's required.
I do never on you. Come on, you have to take time off. If you don't, what you gonna do? Burn out?
I think JT's wife would
like
kill
so
him.
Many?
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to burn out. That's our thing.
Someone would kill someone. It'd be so ugly. No, here we go. I'm going to do Give Peace a Chance in the background. Probably John Lennon in 1969. I think he was killed in 80. And something I wrote, when those lovely little high schoolers, a couple weeks ago I was in Tucson, and they wanted to preach all about no guns and let's get over it. Yeah, I wrote a little something, so I'm going to do that poem too. We'll just listen to a second, and then next. Okay, here we go. Come away to a place where we feel safe and unclouded by judgments made upon us. Come away to a beautiful place where guns are not glorified and peace remains paramount, where the humans involved are nurtured and their bodies are strong and their soul feels the warmth of the love felt from all around them. Come away to these places with me where we can heal and we begin to build our lives again from the ground up with a new sense of devotion to sacred and blessed things in the eyes of all of us. Where children aren't punished for being naive or too green in the marrows of their blood, unable to master everything in such a short time. We need years and strength and patience from within us, and too for all our children's future, and the lots of inner growth we need to do. The places where anger is controlled from within us, and we feel it, as we all do, with injustices and catastrophic events, avoidable or not. It doesn't matter to the sufferer, does it? We learn to redirect our anger because we have seen the damage that misdirected, rampant anger causes. Better take the energy that anger of oppression and abuse provide us and direct it to better causes, ones that can actually heal and mend broken hearts and make them strong again. Not like new, but more exuberant with the blood of life that keep us all here upon this orb, reaching out for knowledge in the arms of kindness. You know, the needs for restitution, they lie just in the very eyes of the ones in the hearts that find the need for it. Inside the wombs of the children that didn't get to make it or live up to their expectations because of events unfolding that shorten their lives and their path. So the beating of their hearts ceased and they left this realm and this game of risky chances in the afterlife that nobody here can feel. But still, we still contemplate. Come away to talk of me with peace and places like this, where we learn by forgiving others and embracing the injured until they feel mended, to where wishes for better lives can actually be revealed in real life. Make these dreams and thoughts come true for all of us. While I am still here, please, I am waiting for you and us to make this a better earth. End poem.
Wow. Lovely piece. And a great song choice.
I don't even know how to contemplate it more other than John Lennon said a lot that I want to say in my lifetime.
Yeah.
You know, so many years later, and I think the fact that he was murdered has to affect us all.
I think so.
But more than that, and beyond that, he had a lot to say. And so I honor that. I'll watch. I'm with my best friend here, Karen, as she about to go to Florida. And I'm going to see Diane when I go there.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, isn't that sweet?
That's
and we're
awesome.
Going to meet for coffee or some other lovely thing.
That's great.
Yeah. My best friend, Karen, is moving back to Florida in May. So I'm going to make that long trek. Think of me 4 days. In a car with my best friend, and then where you can go with whatever names you wish to go.
Yeah.
I think of Thelma and Louise.
Uh-huh.
It goes so strong.
Uh-oh.
Real strong with Thelma and Louise.
Watch out, world.
Yeah. I'm going to do it. So she's got to go there. Her sick son is going back there. 30, he made it. He's waiting for another kidney. He had hers. He had another. And he's going to get another. Gosh darn it, he's going to.
Oh, wow. Good. Well, all right.
Night, all.
Nightmare.
You know I love you.
We love you too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Goodbye. And that was Mary calling from Arizona. Rounding us off, that's a perfect ending for the return engagement, I think.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yes, definitely.
All right. So, everybody, it has been a wonderful show. This has been our first show of the month, April 2018. We're excited to see you next week. So, this is the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper. We will be going into the After Dark segment after an intermission. So if you want to kind of protect your ears or put on proverbial earmuffs so you don't have to hear what's coming up next, now is the time to sign off. So from myself, from JT, from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from Seamus, the living Garfield. Thank you. Good night. We'll see you next time.